إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. وبعد، my dear brothers and sisters, I mentioned to you the three kinds of ayat of the Quran. The ayat glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, mentioning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's glory and majesty, also relating to the promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all the matters of al-ghayb. Then ayat relating to us, our lives, the ahkam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to do, and so on. And then ayat relating to the Anbiya alayhimus salam and people of the past, which are in the form of a proof of concept of what happens if we live our lives according to the system prescribed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and what happens if we choose not to do that. So I want to try and briefly reflect on these three categories in the next couple of days to give us an idea of what of how we should approach the Quran when we are reading it and studying it. It's the normal system of protocol that when you meet somebody who is greater than you, now greater might be in the context, simply a constant context of age, somebody who is much older than you, greater might be in the context of knowledge, somebody who is a scholar who knows more than you, greater might be in the context of wealth or power. You meet a king, you meet a president, you meet somebody who is in a completely different social and power level than you. The protocol is that the junior one, the lesser one, introduces himself. You don't go to the king and say, "Who are you?" You are supposed to know who he is. And even if you don't know, you don't ask him. You go ask somebody else, and when you get in there, you know who the king is. So you can't go and say, "Well, you know, tell me about yourself." No. When you go, you have to say, "I am so and so, and this is why I have come here." But see the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ajeeb, this is the relationship of the Rabb and the Abd. The ta'alluq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the very purpose of this deen, which is the purpose of the bi'asat of the Anbiya, the purpose of the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent his Anbiya, the purpose of the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is to build a connection between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his slaves, between the abd and the rabb, the slave and his rabb. So see the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduced himself, not the other way around, which is our method and our system in the world, where we need to go and say to Allah, "Oh Allah, this is who I am." And incidentally, that is the secret of dua. The secret of dua is, and again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this in the Quran, and he showed us where that system is followed. And I'll come to that bismillahi ta'ala in due course. But the purpose of the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which mentioned his glory and majesty, which introduced him, himself, Jalla Jalaluhu. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduced himself. So for example, in one of the, or the most famous ayah of the Quran, I can say, which is Ayat al-Kursi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ayat al-Kursi is considered to be the greatest ayat of the Quran, not because it is the longest, it is not the longest ayah, but because it has the number of asma wa sifat illahi ta'ala, the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in it, which make it the greatest ayat of the Quran. So therefore, in Ayat al-Kursi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyu al-qayyum." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned his own personal name, which is Allah. And then who is Allah? Allahu la ilaha illa hu. The first thing we are told after we hear the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our relationship with Allah, which is that we worship no one other than Allah. Allahu la ilaha illa, there is no one worthy of worship except Allah. And who is he? Huwa al-hayyu al-qayyum. He is the one who is ever living and who is established. And he is not established because of somebody else. He is not established by somebody. He is not established on the basis of somebody or something. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is established on his own. Allah does not need anyone, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not established, is not al-qayyum because somebody made him qayyum there. No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-qayyum, which means that the basis of his establishment is himself, Jalla Jalaluhu. So now the slave is introduced to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And who is Allah? Huwa al-hayyu al-qayyum. So if this glory and majesty comes into the heart of the slave, what is the first question in the mind of the slave? The first question in the mind of the slave is, in the presence of such glory and majesty, I am so completely insignificant that does Allah even know I exist? I don't mean that obviously literally, because of course Allah knows you exist. But I'm saying that is Allah concerned about me? This is one of the existential questions of the agnostics, for example. They say, yes, there is God, but he's not concerned about us. Why should God be concerned about us? You know, his God is God. So what is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying? لَا تَأْخُذُهُ سِنَةٌ وَلَا نَوْمٌ. There is no ghaflat with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah not only does not sleep, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not even lose attention for a split second. لَا تَأْخُذُهُ سِنَةٌ وَلَا نَوْمٌ. Which means Allah is aware. Allah knows you are there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is concerned about you. He knows what you are doing. He knows what you are seeing, and so on and so on. So the heart of the slave is comforted to say, don't worry, don't think that you are so small that you will be lost somewhere. You will not be lost. Not with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah knows every single instance. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who knows the count of every leaf on every tree in the world. He knows the count of every drop of rain that falls anywhere in the world. He knows the count of every snowflake that falls anywhere in the world. He has the count of every wave of the ocean that hits the shore anywhere in the world. Because as far as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is concerned, this whole world and all that it contains is less than a grain of sand on a beach. So how difficult is it to know when you are in that position? لَا تَأْخُذُهُ سِنَةٌ وَلَا نَوْمٌ. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comforts further. لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Whatever is in the heavens and the earth belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are not just words. So what happens to you when you say لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ? Whatever is in the heavens and the earth belongs to Allah. So what? How does it affect you? How does it affect you? Does it affect you or not? Think about this. Does it affect you or not? So what? How does it affect you? In what way? Because you are part of that. I am part of that. This ayat is not only talking about the glory and majesty of Allah. Allah is saying, you belong to me. You are mine. Huh? What is the meaning of you are mine? When you walk on the road, there are lots of children. We've got 1 billion people in this country, so you see a lot of children. Are you concerned about all of them? You will find a little boy, you know, this big, maybe 8 years old, 9 years old, smoking a cigarette. What's your reaction? At the most, you might say, oh, you know, this young generation, this, that. That's it. But supposing you find your own 8 year old smoking a cigarette, then what? You'll go ballistic, you'll go crazy, huh? Why? Why do you go crazy? So what? Because that child is yours. What is the meaning of saying Allah, when Allah is saying لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ, what is the meaning? What is my relationship to this part of this ayah? I belong to Allah, which means what? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is concerned about what happens to me. So do I need to worry about what will happen to me? Kal mera kya hunga? This, the whole point of these introductions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that we reflect on it and we connect with it and we see what is happening to me as I am listening to this ayah or as I am reciting this ayah. مَنْ ذَلَّذِي يَشْفَعُ عِنْدَهُ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِهِ. I belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which means I will stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment. Then what happens? Now this is the magnificence and glory of Allah. مَنْ ذَلَّذِي يَشْفَعُ عِنْدَهُ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِهِ يَعْلَمُ مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمَا خَلْفَهُمْ. The past, the present, all of this has no... For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there are no differences. There's no past, there's no present, there's no future. Everything is one. يَعْلَمُ مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِهِمْ وَمَا خَلْفَهُمْ وَلَا يُحِيطُونَ بِشَيِّمْ مِنْ عِلْمِهِ إِلَّا بِمَا شَاءَ. Then وَسِيَا كُرْسِيُهُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. The arsh and the kursi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not even mention the arsh. They're talking only about the kursi, which is smaller than the arsh. Mufassirin have translated the kursi as the footstool. Kursi not as in chair. Kursi as the footstool. That is, you sit on the throne and you place your feet on something. We are not giving the misal of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the translation which comes as kursi. This kursi is bigger than everything that has been created and exists. Yeah, think of yourself as a particle traveling at the speed of light in space. Try to imagine that. You're traveling for hundreds of light years. You're traveling at the speed of light as a particle in space, and you have traveled for 300 years. You haven't even reached the first star in the visible universe. The visible universe is a minuscule, a tiny part of the actual universe. And when they make this statement, frankly, I say that this statement is oxymoronic, because when you don't know the size of the actual universe, how do you say this is a minuscule part of the actual universe? Because when you are making that statement, it's a comparative statement, you must necessarily know both. Otherwise, you can't make that statement. I can't say I'm 10% of this, because then you obviously know what is 100%. That's why you're saying 10%. Otherwise, how do you know it's 10%? All we know is that the visible universe is a little bit, and that little bit also, you travel at the speed of light for 300 years, which is 300 light years, and you still haven't got anywhere. And what is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying? Allah is saying His kursi is bigger than all of this, all you know and all you don't know. وَلَا يَعُوذُهُ حِفْظُهُمَا وَهُوَ الْعَلِيُّ الْعَظِيمُ. I'm not translating the whole ayat word by word and so on. I don't think that's required. Go read it up yourself and think. The whole point of this is not to translate for the sake of translation. I'm saying the point is, when we read the Quran, let us sit and reflect on every single word and say, how does this connect with me? I began with the example of protocol because this is the mercy of our Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu, that He broke the protocol and He introduced Himself to us. Now, despite that, if we don't pay attention, despite that, if we do not build a connection with Allah, then who do we have to blame? I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to build a connection with Him. And as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, when the person makes that connection, it is a handhold that will not break. It's a handhold that will not break. Which is in the ayat immediately following ayat al-kursi. La ikraha fi ad-din qad tabayyana rushdu min al-ghayy faman yakfur bit-taghuti wa yu'min billahi faqad istamsaka bil-urwati al-wuthqa lam fisamalah. Allah said it will not break. And that is what I remind myself and you, let us work for that. Let us use Ramadan al-Kareem. Alhamdulillah, biznillah ta'ala, we come to the masajid. Let us continue this throughout our lives, inshallah. And we have the opportunity of reading more Quran and listening to Quran in Taraweeh. Let us make take advantage of that and build our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.